This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on geopolitical tensions in West Asia. The participants are Ashok Sajjanhar, former diplomat, and Gaura Dhavanlal, anchor.
The world today is increasingly and deeply interconnected, and we all know that, particularly at the social and economic levels. Conflict in any part of the world is worrisome. It has huge economic and humanitarian repercussions across. Now, regarding the situation of the Iran-Israel conflict, well, calling the situation a humanitarian tragedy, New Delhi has said it is seriously concerned about the escalation of hostilities which threatens the peace and security in the region. We are delighted to have with us Mr. Ashok Sajjanhar, who's a former diplomat. Ashokji, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Gaura.
So, do you feel, Mr. Sajjanhar, that India is caught in a tight spot over the Iran-Israel escalation? And if you do consider it a tight spot, why is it so? A little bit, if you could share our relations with Iran, with Israel, and what are our concerns?
Well, thank you very much for having me on your show. And yes, you are very right that India is in a tight spot. I would say it is not only India that is in a tight spot. I think the whole world is in a tight spot as a result of the potential of the expansion of the conflict between Iran and Israel. But coming to India, you know, let me say that over the last 5 or 10 years, it is not the first time that India has been in a tight spot. India was in a very tight spot when we had to confront COVID-19 at the beginning of 2020. And you had the Chinese troops and the Chinese forces in April of 2020 breathing down our neck and trying to do the what they are very good at, do the salami slicing. And then the humanitarian, the economic, the health challenges that it posed. We were also in a tight spot when Russia-Ukraine conflict started. And there was such a huge lot of pressure, Gaura, on us from the West that we should criticize, we should condemn Russia, and we should not take any oil, any energy from Russia. But we managed both, whether it was the COVID challenge or it is the Russia-Ukraine challenge, I think very well. We took it in our stride and have come out. Performance has been eminently creditable. Now, coming to the Israel-Iran conflict, which is, it's not the first time that it is happening. It has been happening earlier, right from the time, meaning if I could go back even up to 1979 when the Islamic Republic of Iran was formed, there has been a conflict between these two countries. Policy of Iran has been total annihilation of Israel, and there have been conflicts. But Iran has been operating in terms of its conflicts with Israel through its proxies, whether it is the Hamas in Gaza, whether it is the Hezbollah in Lebanon, or it is the Houthis in Yemen, or other Islamic extremists in Syria and also in Iraq. It has been operating through its proxies. This, Gaura, is the first time that there have been missiles that have been fired at Israel from the territory of Iran, and 320 of them. There have been missiles, ballistic, cruise missiles, rockets, drones. And I think credit to Israel and to its partners like the United States and the United Kingdom that more than 99% of them were shot down and there has been no significant damage that has been done. Coming to India's relations, our relations are very strong, whether it is in the area of security, defense, technology, economy, agriculture, you name it, as far as people-to-people connect is concerned, also very, very strong. As far as Iran is concerned, I think our relations are civilizational in nature. And there is so much that we share in common with each other. We share a common history also. There have been people who have traveled, whether it is Zoroastrians or Parsis, who have traveled from Iran and they have found a home in India. So our relations have been very strong. We have also been very significant importers of Iranian oil till the time, let us say, in 2018-19, when under the threat of sanctions by the U.S. President Donald Trump, when we stopped importing oil from Iran, we were importing about 10 to 12% of our total needs. We import about 83 to 85% of our total requirement from other countries, and of that, Iran was the second largest supplier. So our relations with both Iran and Israel are robust and dynamic, And that is why we have expressed grave concern and anxiety at the conflict that has started, that is really happened because of the firing of these missiles and projectiles from Iranian territory to Israel. Israel has threatened that if there is an attack coming directly from the Iranian territory, then they will also respond. I think what it appears right now, of course it could change, is that Israel is not going to launch an attack on the Iranian territory. Right now, they have said that they will respond in due course at a time and place of their choosing. But so one could see that maybe the imminent threat or danger of the expansion of this conflict into a regional conflict, at least for some time, that risk and that threat is being tampered down a little bit.
That's a wonderful context to take the discussion forward. And you had used the word response. And a lot of the time, invariably, trigger-happy reactions also happen. And I think if you could help us understand, you also shared that we have been in a tight spot diplomatically in other areas also. So what are some basic values behind the stances that we take diplomatically, which have allowed us to, you know, actually walk this diplomatic tightrope with such restraint and success?
The credibility of India has increased very significantly over the last many years. I'll give you an example. You know, for instance, the Vaccine Maitri initiative of India, while developed countries, and I don't want to name any, but across the world, they had vaccines which were eight times their population, and they were hoarding them. They were not sharing it with the other countries, particularly developing countries, who had no manufacturing possibilities. They didn't know where to get these from. India was one of the very few countries that came and helped these countries. For instance, you'd recall our own vaccination drive started on the 16th of January 2021. And our first consignment of vaccines, millions of doses of vaccine to Bangladesh, to Nepal, to Bhutan, and to our neighboring countries went out on the 20th of January within 4 days. So I think the world realizes that when India grows, it is not only for the benefit of its own people, but it is also for the benefit of the other countries, and particularly as far as developing countries are concerned. The credibility, the profile, the influence of India, that has grown very significantly, and that is what we saw even at the time of the G20 summit last year when all the G20 members got together. Number one, to ensure that the Indian presidency was a success. They wanted the Indian presidency that it should not fail, it should be successful. That is how everyone came together, and even the most intractable issue of the Russia-Ukraine conflict, we were able to get a consensus on that on the first day of the conference itself. There are capacities and capabilities, and India, of course, over the last 10 years, we have become a much bigger economy, from the 11th largest economy to the 5th largest economy. So our capacity has increased, and that is why we can work together with different countries and try to bring them together on a common platform. So I think this is something that stands India in very good stead going forward. And that is why our external affairs minister has been able to speak to the foreign minister of Iran and also the foreign minister of Israel. And he has cautioned, he has advised that restraint should be exercised and the conflict should not be allowed to expand to become a regional conflict. So hopefully that should happen. But of course, there are both geopolitical considerations, there are strategic considerations, and there are domestic political considerations which all countries have. I don't think time permits us, otherwise we could have spoken about the domestic considerations of Iran, why it thought that it was essential for it, after all these many years, to come directly into firing these missiles and drones at Israel. And for Israel also, I think there are also domestic political considerations why it would like to launch a punishing attack against Iran. But there are also global geopolitical considerations, particularly as far as the support of the United States is concerned. And even as far as United States is concerned, it is Mr. Joe Biden's election bid in November that he has to keep in mind while taking a position on how much pressure to apply on Israel, that it should not go ahead with this. It's a very complex issue, but at least India can play the role that it should be through dialogue. Both sides should exercise restraint and should not allow this conflict to expand further.
Actually, just taking a cue from the earlier part of your answer, and you said that, you know, how India is viewed and the goodwill we have has been earned, and it's not a one-off effort. It's been repeatedly, consistently following the same values, moving on from, you know, there are voices of power which are heard, but India's always wanted to be a voice of sanity. And especially, you know, when you're not wanting to wield power, but to wield restraint and to say, listen to us. Because, you know, in today's world where everybody wants to speak, it's very important that you have somebody who wants to listen. And you're saying India has earned the right by its repeated posturing and taking stances throughout. And I think one of the pillars on which this has been that India has no personal ambitions or intentions except to say that we want a happier world, we want a safer world, and we want a more interconnected world and a more humane world. Wanting to now understand from you the humanitarian efforts, whether it's in the Red Sea, the Suez Canal, whether it's working in terms of dire need for other countries, some efforts in this area that we've already put in.
Absolutely, you are very right. As far as I mentioned about the vaccine micro initiative, also in the context of the Russia-Ukraine conflict, you would have seen that although the war is taking place in a very limited area, but in terms of its impact, whether it is the increase in the energy prices, it is the shortage of food items in different parts of the world, and India had put a ban on export of food grains and wheat. But when there was shortage that was felt, whether it was in Egypt or it was in Morocco or it was in some of the other countries which are traditional importers of food items from different countries, then India, you know, made a change in its policy. You would also remember, Gaurav, that even during the time of the COVID-19, we had put a ban on the export of hydroxychloroquine. And at that time, Mr. Donald Trump, he had made a personal request to Prime Minister Modi that, you know, we need hydroxychloroquine, because at that time it was not known what particular medication would help. And he had supplied that, and then Donald Trump had said that America will never forget this generous action of India. So I think coming back to what you have mentioned about Suez Canal, Red Sea, Arabian Sea, I think India has emerged as a security provider in this region. We have been helping out shipping, which has been affected, which has been bombed by the Houthis because of their support for Hamas and actions against Israel. And in that context, there have been many ships that have been bombed, but Indian naval vessels have come to the rescue. Many of these ships, earlier there used to be piracy, which was rampant in this area. The Somalian pirates used to act with freedom and abandon, but Indian vessels have been able to act against these pirates and rescue the crew on many of these ships. And many of these ships, they have not only Indian crew, but crew of many other nationalities. India acts basically with a view of helping all the countries that it can possibly do. India has truly emerged as you said, a voice of sanity, a voice of reason, and a consensus builder, which is so very important in the turmoil and turbulence that we experience in the world today.
Absolutely. Mr. Ashok Sajjanhar, you spoke about consensus, and after this conversation, I'm sure there will be consensus with our listeners for, you know, giving us, we really appreciate this complete context, giving the depth and the understanding that you've given all of us on this topic. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Gaurav. It's a pleasure to be with you.
You are listening to a discussion on geopolitical tensions in West Asia. The participants were Ashok Sajjanhar, former diplomat, and Gaurav Dhawanlal, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsttalks@gmail.com.